It's here, Mason. The end of the college football season. And we probably say this every year, just went by way too fast on us. But we had a pretty good game for the national championship, a lot better than last year. Wasn't the best game, but it was still a good game for three and a half quarters, you know, and then, you know, Michigan ran away with it. But let's go ahead and get into it. Mason, how are we feeling about Michigan being the national champions?
You know, I never feel great when cheaters are rewarded, but this time they were. So
then why are you a Bama fan?
Okay. Low blow, Cam. Low blow. I didn't think we were going to start it off with low blows at me. I just thought we were going to take shots at Michigan, but okay. But look, dude, they just absolutely bullied Washington the entire game, if we're being honest. I mean, what, their first four touchdowns were all runs, or was it all five of them were runs? So they just absolutely ran all over Washington, and then Michael Penix was pretty much off the entire game. So you got to give a huge shout out to Michigan. Their offensive line was just going crazy the entire game. They were opening up some huge holes, and they did their thing. I think they're Sherrod Moore, their offensive coordinator/offensive line coach, he's going to be throwing his name out for some gigs this summer. Maybe he even gets the Michigan job if Harbaugh leaves. But they played a good game, man. It's weird sitting there watching J.J. McCarthy not really have to do anything and just still getting the national championship under his belt. So, shouts to them.
Man, who would have thought you could win a national championship with, like, average to a below average quarterback play? And as I say that, Mason, you can hear the screams from Tallahassee in the background. No, but like, it was super impressive. Like, obviously I'm pretty happy about it, because I picked them preseason. Okay, I've been making my laps. I've been telling people all year they're the best team in the country, they're gonna win it all, and it actually happened. So pretty happy about that. But like, the reason is they had the best defense and an offense that could score. It wasn't an Iowa situation where they have a really good defense and then they just might as well punt on first down. Like, you know, like they were able to actually take advantage of mistakes, run the ball super well, and again, just take advantage of mistakes by the defense, which is what both of those big runs by Donovan Edwards were, was big mistakes by run fits by the Washington defense. Outside of those, and then outside of that one long Blake Corum run, the Washington defense did really step up, especially kind of back half, second quarter, third quarter, and most of the fourth, until they were just completely wore down. You know, they did a really good job and settled in and gave their offense the chance to come back and win the game. I mean, when you think about Washington offense, and now it's even more hilarious to even hear the comparison of the 2019 LSU team. There were times, I mean, we saw it the week before against Texas. Whenever Michael Penix and those receivers and that offense is on, it looks amazing. It looks like one of the elite offenses you've ever seen. And then when it's off, boy, is it off, man. Michael Penix could not get comfortable, and that was my key to the game. That's what I kind of thought that it would look like against Texas last week. But just goes to show you how impressive the Michigan front defensive front was, and being able to get pressure with just like four rushers most of the time, and they're able to drop eight, makes it impossible. But even when they were doing that, like, Michael Penix with guys wide open, not even like tons of pressure in his face, just flat out missed Roman Dunze for a touchdown, and countless other passes that was just awful. The first pass to open up the second half was bad. That he threw the pick on. I mean, the Twitter talk was quiet on Michael Penix, safe to say, on Twitter on Monday night, as opposed to the week before. And he just looked like a completely different guy, a complete shell of himself. It looked like, I don't know if it was so much as the moment maybe got too big for him, or it was just Michigan got in his head in the defense or the rush, but it was like, he wasn't good the whole game. Like, there wasn't a single moment in the game where like, oh yeah, this is Michael Penix. Like, this is what, cause like, I was just waiting for this stretch where he gets hot. Like, it seems like there's always that stretch in every game with him that he's like, no matter what, he is on point. He's throwing darts and you can't stop him maybe for a couple drives. And then, you know, he goes back to, you know, being normal, like you saw in the Texas game, but that never came.
Yeah. I almost felt like he was a little shell-shocked just from, like you were saying, the Michigan defense getting to him so much, because a lot of his throws were he was kind of floating back, throwing off his back foot, or he was kind of shaking around in the pocket and throwing it a little too early. But like you were saying, there was a big play, I think it was on fourth down somewhere in the third quarter, where he just like completely missed Roma Dunze. Like Roma Dunze was running wide open and he threw it about 3 yards behind him. And then that's just like, from what I was watching, it felt like he was shell-shocked compared to just like the moment was too big for him. And I mean, even at the end of the game, you saw it. He was taking so many big hits. He was limping around, holding his ribs. Like, I just think that it's weird. If you look at his stats, like 27 of 51, terrible. 250 yards, 255 yards. It's pretty solid. But then you flip it over to JJ McCarthy, who's 10 of 18 for 140 yards in the national championship game. So, like, the recipe that Michigan had obviously is what propelled them to win the game, because like if you're able to put that much pressure on Penix and then also completely just run the ball down their throat the entire game, it's like there's not much that you're going to be able to do. But at the same time, it's like I never felt like Washington was out of the game until they threw that, or until they had that pretty bad pick in the fourth quarter that they almost took back for a touchdown. But it was like the entire time it felt like Michigan was bullying them the entire time, obviously the better team winning the entire game. And then it's just like Washington made some adjustments in the second quarter on offense and defense. They started slowing Michigan down. Offense was doing all right, and it felt like they were still in the game, but it's just like they couldn't get over the hump to tie or take the lead in the game.
Yeah, for sure. And on that last interception that they had that was returned all the way, I mean, fourth down on their side of the 20-yard line. I mean, they were in the red zone, I think. And the thing that drove me crazy of, hey, we have a first round wide receiver. And it drove me crazy most of the game. Hey, we have a bona fide, one of the top wide receivers in the country, bona fide first round pickup wide receiver. I don't care who you have. We're throwing it to him. And when you look at the play, he doesn't even look his way. And if he does, it's a first down. Because he's wide open in a skinny post or long slant, whatever you want to call the route. He's wide open for a first down. And to not even look at your best player on offense besides Michael, I mean, to me, that's just insane that you don't even look his way on the most important down of the game. Missing him a couple of times. I mean, you missed him on that wide open fourth down play in the first half. There was another kind of go route that he kind of beat the corner, but you basically threw it out of bounds, so he didn't even have a play on it. He ended up with decent stats, Adunze did. I mean, it was 5 for 87. But there were so many plays for him to have had, or there to be had for both of them. And it's kind of a same thought that I had last week against Texas of, man, it just feels like they take, when it comes to at least coaching and some of the play calling and decisions they make on offense when they're rolling, especially when they get on the other side of the 50 and closer, they just like completely change what they do. You know, like I think if you're a Washington fan and even just like a college football fan and you've been watching Washington all year, and it's happened a lot this year of, hey, once they get on the other side of the 50, especially inside the 40 and 30, their offense completely changes and they just try and run the ball and really don't take advantage of the edges that they really do have in their three wide receivers. Like, it's just like they go into a shell and feel like they can't throw the ball within 40 yards, basically. So it was really weird. And, you know, hats off to Dylan Johnson for playing. I mean, none of us thought that he was probably going to play, and then it comes out either the day before or the day of that he's playing, for him to tough it out as he did. Obviously, he wasn't himself for obvious reasons. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I feel like there are so many plays that could have been had that weren't made, either because the players didn't execute them or because the coaching staff just didn't put their team in the best position to succeed, especially once they started going and getting on the other side of the 50-yard line.
Well, I think the thing about it is they don't necessarily have a three-tier passing game. It's kind of like the same thing with Alabama. It's like with Washington, their short passing game, really good. They run a ton of like bubble screens, quick outs to their wide receivers who turn it up, get 5 or 10 yards, whatever. And then their deep passing game, also awesome, because you saw it a lot, like not necessarily in the championship game, but with Michael Penix, he is able to kind of put the ball wherever he wants it. And so their deep passing game, really good. They just don't have like the middle, like kind of 10 to 12 yard routes that they can kind of go to and know they're getting. And so they did struggle with that because they got into the red zone a couple times during the game and they had to go for it on fourth down where it'd be like fourth and like 12 and 12 or whatever. And they can't, they could just couldn't convert that because they had the back end. Obviously they were going into the end zone. And so it's like, you can't just throw a 40 yard bomb, but also if you throw a little 2 yard out, that's not going to convert for you. So it's like that middle passing game for them just wasn't there the entire game. And I think that's kind of what helped Michigan in the red zone.
For sure. It for sure wasn't there. And again, I think part of that is also just not, I think sometimes coaches maybe like scheme up plays for Dunze that Penix just thinks that he's got the defense figured out and thinks that he has his answer when in reality he doesn't. And he would have just been better off just throwing the 50-50 ball to Adunze, or Adunze broke open if he even would have looked his way, like on the fourth down play. I mean, we obviously don't have the all 22 view whenever we're watching the game most of the time. So, I mean, I can't point out even more examples other than that fourth down. But I mean, you know, I mean, if he's a first round wide receiver, like we all know he is, then there are plenty of plays that were just missed. I mean, we talked about three. I mean, there was the one on fourth down, the two on fourth down, the one in the first half that he completely missed that would have been a touchdown, the other one at the end of the game, and then there was another kind of 50-50 ball that Penix just threw out of bounds. So that McMillan and Polk were okay. I mean, they just didn't perform. I mean, it was just really kind of an all-around effort by the Washington offense of just not performing. And hats off to Michigan for forcing the issue, for being physical. I think that also kind of played a part on the wide receivers, is that the DBs from Michigan played really physical on them, and really kind of got them off their groove. And then once it got to really in the second half, you could tell they were pressing because they started dropping passes and all that kind of stuff. So big props to the Michigan defense.
You think Washington regrets signing up for the Big Ten yet?
They're going to get a big check. It don't matter.
They're going to have to make some changes up front, though. Because, I mean, obviously Michigan's the bully in the Big Ten, for sure. But Penn State would be able to run on them. I'm sure Ohio State would be able to run on them. I'll never say Iowa can run on anybody, but, you know.
Hey, they're getting a new OC, though.
Well, it's about time. Sheesh, maybe they'll score. Had to. Yeah.
Because they didn't reach the points per game requirement in the guy's contract.
What's funny is it was only like 20 points a game or something like that. 22, something weird.
It wasn't much. So let's kind of flip the screen. Obviously, we were just talking about, hey, maybe they can't stop the run. They did stop the run for a good bit. I mean, they gave up over 200 yards. They gave up three really big runs. But outside of those, they held up pretty well until the dam just kind of bursted on them there at the end of the game. So, yeah, give me your thoughts on the Michigan offense and Washington defense.
Well, I think it was more so they kind of knew that J.J. McCarthy wasn't going to beat them, for being honest. Like, I think everybody kind of knows that at this point. And so, like, it looked more like they were able to kind of stuff the box a little bit. And so they were having more success closing the lanes that were opening up, that the offensive line was opening up. And so, like, to me, that's kind of where it becomes a little bit of a problem for Michigan next year, because you're probably losing Blake Corum. You're probably losing a couple guys on your offensive line, probably losing Roman Wilson. So it's like, all right, you got to start seeing something out of J.J. McCarthy. Just
is
won
he
the
coming
national
back?
Championship. I think he does. I mean, if he goes, he's going to be like a fourth or fifth round pick. And it's a stacked quarterback draft, too. So I think he comes back.
I think he goes because his coach is leaving.
That's a good point, too.
I mean, I'm calling it now. Jim Harbaugh's leaving.
Oh, he's gone.
I think everybody knows it. He's going to leave. So I think because he leaves, I think McCarthy's going to leave. Like, what? It's kind of like the same question I had about with Stetson Bennett the first year that he won the Natty. Obviously, it worked out for him. He had a really good year. For some reason, got called to New York for whatever reason. But he had a good year. But, like, if you've been the guy at Michigan and watched back-to-back playoffs before this year of just standing and watching the other team celebrate, you finally win the whole thing. You can go to the draft. A lot of your team that brought you there is going to the draft. Why are you coming back?
Yeah.
That's kind of my reason. And like,
yeah.
Could he get better? Yeah, he could, but he could just go get drafted and get better on an NFL roster. Like, if we're both being honest here, like JJ McCarthy is so streaky. And if he couldn't be super successful with this team, how do we know he's going to be super successful next year?
Yeah.
Or even more successful to put him in a better spot. So like, the quarterback draft next year might not be as good as this year, but I just think because it's so good, if he gets drafted in late rounds, he's just going to be drafted to a better situation.
Well, I think regardless, he's probably going to be a backup in the NFL anyways.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I guess you're right. It really doesn't matter. You talked me into it. Congratulations.
Listen, I feel like it's like three podcasts in a row now that I've done that. It's great.
I don't know how I feel about it, but, you know, sometimes you make some good points. So,
I think JJ's out. JJ's out. But, I mean, like, and kind of like what I said earlier when we were talking about, he's just super streaky. Like, he'll go on these streaks where he looks amazing and looks really good. Kind of last drive in regulation against Bama, he looked great. He didn't really have that in this game. And, like, it just, you're one with an average quarterback.
Well, I think the thing with him is, like, he's good enough to not lose you the game. Like, he's not going to make the big-time mistakes. He's not going to turn the ball over in bad situations. Like, he really is a very good game manager. But I think he's a good game manager because he's able to rely on his run game as much as he is. So, like, the run game obviously puts him in really good situations when it comes to distributing the ball. But I don't necessarily see, like, the super high upside with him to where it's like, okay. Like, with Michael Penix, if you're sitting there, you're like, okay, Washington's in the national championship game because of Michael Penix. You're not necessarily getting that out of J.J. McCarthy, but he's not going to lose it for you too, which is pretty much exactly what you saw in the national championship. Like, we read off his numbers, 10 of 17 for 140 yards. No turnovers. So, not winning you the game, but he's not losing it either. So,
I mean, he did run four times for 31 yards, Mason.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, the best version of J.J. McCarthy was, I think, probably the Ohio State game this year. Let me actually find what his stats were in that game for you real quick so we can reference them. And I say that, I mean, he went 16 of 20 for 148 and a touchdown. So, like, I mean, nothing special. Yeah, Let's look at his game-by-game stats. I think his best game was maybe against Maryland this year.
But that's why all the McCarthy for Heisman stuff that was happening in the middle of the year was so stupid. Like, oh, yeah, congratulations. You're beating up on bad teams right now. Also, your numbers aren't even super great against the bad teams right now either. So, come on.
Yeah, his biggest game was 24 of 37 for 335 and touchdowns. Where are the touchdowns? Didn't even throw a touchdown pass against Purdue.
So it was Purdue that game was?
Yeah. He passed for 287 and four touchdowns against Michigan State. I mean, I think kind of the greatest, or I don't know if it's the greatest example, but another example of like McCarthy just isn't great is the 7 for 8 for 60 yards against Penn State. Is it fair to say that Penn State was the best defense they played all year? Probably so.
Yeah,
so
pretty easily. Well, here's the thing. It worked for him. He won a national championship. So he just needs to give a big old hug and kiss to Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards in the offensive line.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Man, who thought you could win a championship with average to below average quarterback play? Who thought it was possible? And really good defense. Not this guy.
Florida State wouldn't have done it.
You know what really annoyed me last night, Mason? I think you already know because I texted you about it. Were the really stupid Bama and Georgia fans that are out here saying things like, oh, I guess the national championship was the week before the real national championship, or this national championship isn't legitimate, or I guess this just like whenever Michigan was up, you know, 17-3. Well, I guess, you know, Georgia and Bama should have been in and, you know, maybe fill in a fourth team. Like, I don't know. Like, bro, I'm going to sit here right now. And you might not agree with me. And that's fine. Washington would beat Bama this year. Washington would beat Bama this year. Texas already beat Bama. Bama was the fourth best team in this playoff. Georgia couldn't even beat Bama to get in the playoff. And we talked about, I actually went back and listened to some of our predictions when it came to Georgia before the season started. And we both said, yeah, Georgia just isn't going to have the resume to make it as an at-large team. And you know what?
We were right, baby. Look at that.
So it was like, no, you had one shot to get in and you didn't. So, like, and it wasn't even against a great Bama team. No offense. It wasn't team. So, like, how about we back up and get rid of this stupid SEC is the best thing ever, and if the SEC isn't in it, then this is a sham kind of thought and process and conversation that you like to have.
Well, the SEC wasn't just, you know, that's why it's stupid, though.
That is why it's even more stupid this year, for sure.
Because they went through an SEC team and still won it. So, to me, that's why it's stupid. It's not like you have to beat Georgia or Alabama in the national championship for it to count. Like, they beat Alabama the week before to get into the national championship and then won it. So, like, the argument's just dumb.
It's so stupid. It's just, you know, these people just trying to cope with themselves that, you know what, Bama isn't going to win a national championship, and then they can't beat their chest that the SEC, because for whatever reason, they're just like big conference homers that think that, oh, if our conference won a national championship, then basically my team won a national championship. Because, yeah, you know, that makes sense, right?
We'll get the SEC love out of here.
Me as an LSU fan should absolutely root for Georgia and Alabama to win a national championship. You as an Alabama fan should absolutely root for Auburn or Ole Miss or LSU to win a national championship. Not. That's like, that just makes sense.
I root harder against the SEC.
Exactly. It makes no sense. It makes no sense in any real world when we're legit competitors in every single facet of the sport.
What does it do?
And game. It doesn't do anything. Like, oh, it might get the league more money. How does that affect you?
Yeah, no, exactly.
How does it affect you as a fan? Do the ticket prices get cheaper? No. Do the concession stands get better? No. Does the merchandise get cheaper? No. The concession stands get worse. The prices go up for everything.
And all it does.
This isn't a knock on Bama because they really don't have control. But I went to freaking Alabama game and the concession stands paying like
$16
for freaking crappy nachos.
Yeah. And a really crappy hot dog too.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Like $40. Like, no. You're making all this money, and then you're going to come out here. It's like, oh, well, we had the most viewership on our games. And you know what? If the SEC wins, then everybody gets a bigger cut and pay. It's like, why do I care? Why do you care? How does that affect you?
All it means I have to sit here and listen to the fans of the rival teams that I hate be happy and cheer for a national championship, which makes me salty because obviously I wanted the national championship. So, no, I'm not cheering for an LSU or an Auburn in a national championship. Get that crap out of here.
Makes no sense. These people make no sense. And a lot of these are also some of the same people that champion the, hey, we just shouldn't have a national championship, like legit national championship settled on the field. You know, we should just go back to the AP poll determining who the national champion is. And, you know, it's a lot of those people. And if you take offense to that, you're supposed to. So.
This is the everybody gets a trophy generation, Cam. So you should be used to it by now.
Unbelievable. Let's see. Is there anything else? I do want to say this because I don't know if we really got to it last week. We might have, but I just feel like we need to bring it up again. Yes, Florida State. you missed a lot of players in your bowl game. And you can't really take much away from the bowl game because there were so many players that were out. But listen, at the same time, you cannot get beat by freaking 60 against anybody on national television like that. Primetime national television. You got beat worse than what Georgia did to like Mercer or some school of the deaf and the blind that they played this year. That weak Georgia schedule. They didn't beat a single team by more than 50 besides Florida State. I went and tried to look. It's like, okay, like they had to have beaten somebody like 55 to like 3 or something like that. No, let me go ahead and just bring up their schedule just so I can read you the bigger scores that they had to prove a point here, Mason. UT Martin, pretty close, 48-7. 40 points, 41 points. Ball State, 45-3, so 42 points. UAB was 49-21. Vanderbilt kept it closer, 37-20. Georgia Tech kept it close, 31-23. Listen, I get you're upset because your team didn't make the playoff. And you have all these players out. But you cannot sit here and tell me that your team that you had on that field couldn't give a bigger fight than what freaking Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech and UT Martin or UAB gave Georgia. You can't sit here and tell me this is okay. Or throw it completely out the window. Like, obviously, it doesn't mean anything. It's not a measuring stick for the year and how good Florida State actually was. But, like, do you really, like, understand how legit embarrassing that is? No one from Florida State should ever, ever, ever willingly bring up that game. Ever. For any reason. Should never bring up the Orange Bowl. The only time you should be talking about the Orange Bowl as a Florida State fan is if somebody else brings it up, and then the only thing you can say is, well, we lost the players, and we didn't really care.
Yeah.
And that's it. You shouldn't say a single other word about it.
Isn't it fun, though? Just seeing the saltiness.
You know what? It's really funny, Mason, because I was like, I'm like totally sympathetic to them and like totally on their side on it. And then now I'm at the point, it's like, all right, guys.
I hate you all.
Like, y'all are starting to get really pathetic and kind of on my nerves now. Okay.
You feel really bad for them at first. And then they like take your sympathy and they make it 10 times worse. And then you're just like, you know what? I really don't feel bad for you anymore. I'm glad it happened to you.
And then they start talking about the Orange Bowl. Like, you know, it makes sense. I'm like, guys, stop. Just stop. You're not helping yourself.
Cut it in half, lose by 30, and then it's like, okay, sure, why not? But 60, a little outrageous. So I have nothing left for Florida State. It's just funny at this point.
It's starting to get cringe, guys, okay? It's the off season now. Just leave it behind and just move forward, okay? And you know what? Maybe you'll join the Big Ten at some point. I don't know.
Oh, Florida State.
Well, Mason, why don't we go ahead and just kind of give some, I don't know if final thoughts. We might do a full recap of the full college football season in an episode coming up. But just kind of, I guess, quickly, a couple minutes, give me your thoughts on this past season of college football that is now unfortunately over.
Actually, honestly, I really, really, really enjoyed this season. It was a lot of fun. Like, just the fact that the Pac-12 kind of came back to life this year was really cool because you had teams like Oregon, Washington, and Arizona had a really good year. But it was just, to me, all around a really fun year because there was a lot of like really solid upsets, but nothing like too crazy. So there wasn't anything really blowing your mind. So it was just a solid year, in my opinion. But the big thing I'm taking away from this year is I can't wait for the expanded playoff. Like, just get me to next year. Get me to the 12 team. Still wish it was an 18, but I'm fine with it being 12. I'm ready to be done with the 14 playoff. I think it kind of ran its course. I expect next year's playoff to be a world beater. There's going to be a lot of really good teams fighting for that position, especially after what Ole Miss did in the transfer portal this year. So I'm really excited for next year, looking forward to it. This year was a lot of fun, seeing a lot of the teams that haven't been in the fold kind of come back to life, like Washington, like Florida State. They did have a good year. And teams like that. Missouri had a really great year too. That was a lot of fun. So this was just a good year, man. It didn't disappoint for sure, because it felt like every week we had solid games. Like I never felt disappointed coming out of a weekend. So hate that it's gone. Hate that we're gonna have to sit here for 8 months and twiddle our thumbs. But you know what? On to basketball season.
No, we're waiting on baseball season, Mason.
Obviously. Get out of here.
College baseball season coming up soon, guys. No, it was a really fun year. I think it's also kind of a nostalgic year, too, because the Pac-12 is going away, and it's the year before all the stupid, insane conference realignment and the 12-team playoff, because we're about to have a ton of change, which, by the way, not sure if anybody knew this, still don't know what networks the first round of the playoff games next year are going to be on. Hasn't been figured out yet. And you know what? There are people that are way much more in the know than we are that are saying, hey, there could be changes coming soon on how the whole thing is going to work. So it could be a very interesting off season, this season, Mason. But yeah, it was a really fun year. Obviously, as an LSU fan, a little bit disappointed that our defense decided, not to, play defense. They decided just to wait until next year, maybe, to consider playing defense. But no, it was a really fun year. A lot of fun storylines. Again, like you said, the Pac-12 being really good in the final year, because like you said, Oregon, Washington, Arizona had a really good year. Oregon State had a good year. Utah, you never knew it was going to happen. You had the storyline of Caleb Williams at USC. And then obviously, you know, you had Prime. At the beginning of the year, you know,
yes, sir, my guy
kind of got forgotten at the end of the year because his team ended up just faltering down and didn't make a bowl game. But yeah, it was a really fun year with that. And yeah, so cheers to next year. But you know what, Mason, there's still some football being played right now, and it's football that we really don't talk much about. We did just do a live stream for fantasy football, our fantasy football league last week, which if you hadn't watched that, the replay is up on Rumble. This is the only place you're going to watch it. The NFL, wild card weekend. They're calling it Super Wild Card Weekend because, you know,
yes,
we got to make it super and bigger. Can I just say, how stupid is it that we have a freaking playoff game on Peacock?
It's the Chiefs, too. How do you put the Chiefs on Peacock? What are we doing?
Why are you not just putting it on NBC and just doing a doubleheader on NBC? Why are you forcing people to either bootleg it because you know half of America isn't going to purchase to pay for Peacock for a month or do the free trial for 3 days and then forget about it and get charged $7 or whatever it is to view it? And then the other half going to do like maybe a month or a week subscription. Why are you forcing us to do this? And you know that this is just a lead up for them to then put it on Prime and then maybe put it on Apple TV that, like, you know, 1/32nd of the country actually has Apple TV, you know. It's just like the gateway to this garbage that they're trying to do. What are we doing?
I mean, you know, the NFL, and they're super broke. Apparently they need money. So obviously they have to start streaming stuff on Peacock just because, like, they got to start paying guys.
How are they broke?
Obviously, they're broke if they're putting stuff on Peacock. I can't explain it any other way.
It's either that or NBC is broke and they're just begging the NFL to get some free subscriptions to Peacock. Like, that's the only other thing it could be.
But why is it the Chiefs and Dolphins on Peacock? Put one of the garbage games on there. I mean, you could have put the Browns and Texans on there. Nobody really cares about that game, if we're being honest. You could have put the Eagles and the Bucks on there.
That's another thing. Why are we playing Eagles Bucks on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, get out of here. What are we doing?
Why are we having Chiefs Dolphins Monday Night Football?
Patrick Mahomes is your biggest money hog, and you have Tyreek Hill who's going back to Kansas City to play a game. What are we doing? Why is that game on Peacock? Dude.
I mean, it's a good thing that they don't have Rams Lions on Peacock.
Yeah, that would be
very bad. Why is that not Monday Night Football?
That should be Monday Night. All right, let's go through it, actually. All right, so if we're doing this, you have afternoon slot on Saturday, night game on Saturday. And then you have three games on Sunday, one game on Monday. All right, so if I'm doing this, I'm starting it off with Bills Steelers Saturday afternoon. Started off solid game. Probably Bills are probably going to win, but give me that. Then Saturday night, I'm going Texans Browns on Peacock. Who cares about that? Sunday afternoon, give me Philly and Bucks. Second game on Sunday, give me Green Bay at the Cowboys. Third game on Sunday, KC Miami. Monday night, Detroit, LA. It's that easy. NFL, hire me. I'll make you more money.
I mean, do you think they made some of this? And here's the thing. They like whenever they came out with this schedule, Mason, the Dolphins-Bills game wasn't even done. It was halftime. So yeah. You had the possibility of Bills-Chiefs on Peacock. Like ridiculous. Both of the situations, Bills-Chiefs or Dolphins-Chiefs.
Ridiculous.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Absolutely ridiculous.
So stupid. This is one of the things that makes me really mad about the NFL. It's like this, and it's the same thing with the other pro sports, and then like blacking out and making you predetermine on who you can watch and having to pay like $700 to be able to watch whatever team you want to watch or game you want to watch. It's just, it makes me so mad. It just annoys me. So then I have to spend extra money to watch Red Zone, and half the time now, especially in the later window, they only play really kind of like one game and don't really show you except like two or three plays of the other game. It's just the NFL. Okay, so let's get into the NFL then, besides complaining about time slots and about them being idiots and streaming it on Peacock. We'll start with the NFC games, and then we'll go to the AFC games. So we'll start with Sunday afternoon, Packers Cowboys. Interesting matchup. Packers have really been on a roll recently. Jordan Love's playing really well. The offense seems to be clicking along. Dallas is lucky that they get to play at home because they can't win on the road except against the Commanders. So what do you think about Packers Cowboys?
I think the big thing to watch for this is how Dak is going to perform, because honestly, he's been kind of average when he does play in the playoffs. I favor the Cowboys in this game, but like you said, Green Bay has been playing very, very well. Jordan Love has kind of come out of his shell, and he's been leading this team so far. They do have two really good running backs in Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. So they have a little bit of wiggle room, but also Dallas's defense with Micah Parsons is really good. So I lean Dallas in this one, but it's going to be interesting to see how Dak performs, especially knowing that they are going to have to go through San Francisco if they want to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and there's also kind of talk of, hey, whatever happens in the playoffs could really determine if Mike McCarthy is back. So losing the first round, and I think it's pretty much a done deal. He's done. So yep. What about in the game that should be Monday Night Football, Rams-Lions, Lions' first home playoff game in Ford Field, I think I heard ever.
Probably, yeah.
Both quarterbacks facing their former teams. Matt Stafford coming back to Detroit. Super interesting storyline. Sam Laporta probably out because he hyperextended his knee, which is a big weapon loss for the Lions and Jared Goff. What do we think about the Rams-Lions matchup?
I think this is actually going to be my favorite game of the weekend because of, like you said, all of the stuff that's going into it. You know, the Lions' history of like never making the playoffs. So the fact that they're actually back in it. Matt Stafford coming back and actually playing at Detroit. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I love Detroit, honestly. Actually, dude, I really don't know. This is going to be a good game because Matt Stafford, he plays really well in the playoffs. He has been coming along this season. He was hurt a little bit earlier in the year. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua have both been playing well. So they have a lot of weapons to go to on the offensive end for the Rams. But on the other side, like you have – Amon-Ra St. Brown, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, they have a lot of speed. Detroit does. And so it'll be interesting to see how they match up against the Rams defense, who is solid because they have Aaron Donald. But at the same time, like, the back end can be had a little bit. So I think I lean Detroit in this one. But if you told me the Rams actually come out winning, it wouldn't surprise me because McVay is a genius. So maybe they throw something together, really go to with their offensive game plan.
Yeah, I for sure think this is the best matchup of the weekend for sure. It'll be really interesting to see how big of a deal not having Sam Laporta for Detroit is, and see how big of a loss that is. And then now to Monday night, for some reason, Eagles Bucks. Eagles run away with it, right?
Dude, I don't know. I really don't know. They have been so bad the last half of the season. I mean, they started.
Have they just stopped caring?
I don't know. I honestly have no clue.
Losing 5 of 6.
Yeah, they started off 10-1, and now they lost 5 of 6. So they're obviously the better team than the Bucks. But the last quarter of the season for them just felt like a completely different team. They weren't running the ball very well. Jalen Hurts turned into a turnover machine, and obviously you saw a little bit of unhappiness from A.J. Brown too. And so it's like there could be a little discontent in the locker room. I don't know what the problem is with Philly right now. And so, like, I'm not confident in them going through the playoffs. I do think they'll beat the Bucks, but I mean, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I'll say that, but I think they'll win.
Yeah, I mean, if Baker is on, boy, better watch out.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those streaky guys. I mean, he can, like, he's not like J.J. McCarthy in that he's bad. He's solid. Yeah. And they can turn superstar at the drop of a hat when you have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and then your third tier receiver maybe being a Trey Palmer or one of the other guys. Thompson, I think, is one of the other guys that's there. And then you have Rashad White, a running back that can pop off too in the passing game and running the football. So in the defense, listen, the Bucks defense, whenever Tom Brady was there, was lights out, one of the best in the league. They've definitely fallen off a little bit because of some injuries and just getting older, but they still have tons of studs everywhere in the secondary and at the linebacker level. So, yeah, I mean, I could definitely see a home upset for the Bucks in this game, because like you said, just Philly just has been playing like garbage, and like they just didn't. After they beat Kansas City on the road, it's just like they just thought it was over.
Yeah.
So. Let's go to the AFC now. And you know what? You were kind of hating on this game, Mason, but it seems like half of our fantasy league are now becoming Texans fans. So we have the Cleveland Browns, Houston Texans on Saturday afternoon. CJ Stroud, rookie of the year, obviously going to get a playoff win in his first year, or are the Browns just going to suffocate the offense?
I think the only reason this game is
Joe Flacco.
Yeah, no, but I think the only reason this game is a little bit exciting is because of how well CJ Stroud has been playing. So that is going to be fun to watch coming out with his first playoff game. Also, shout out to D'Amico Ryans, first year head coach, going taking the team to the playoffs. The Texans are interesting because they do have a lot of firepower on the offensive end, but they did lose Tank Dell. Man, I don't know if I can buy into the Browns. Obviously, their defense is awesome, but Joe Flacco is pushing 100 years old at this point. So I think I would lean the Browns, but I would not have them going much further than this. I think they'll win, but I think it'll be a close game. And I actually would not be surprised if CJ Stroud throws for over 300 and has a good game, but I would lean Browns.
I think the Browns are going to suffocate him, and I think the dream season is over for the Texans. That's
well,
my prediction.
This is best case scenario for them, so I'm sure they're happy.
The Browns defense is just so good. Miles Garrett in the defensive line and in the back end has been so good all year. So I'll go Browns, and I think they'll be able to pound it, and Joe Flacco will be able to get the play action passes and ride off into the sunset one more year. Miami Dolphins, Kansas City Chiefs on Peacock. Thoughts? Can Mahomes lose? I hope so, but
you know. I really, really hate it for the Dolphins because of the amount of injuries they have. I mean, Bradley Chubb, Jay Phillips, like they've just got dudes all over the place that are hurt. The reason I think it's unfortunate is because if you had Miami fully healthy, I think they beat Kansas City and I think they beat them pretty easily. The thing is, Kansas City's offense this year has been hot garbage, which is hard to explain with having Patrick Mahomes. But their wide receivers just have not been there. They're constantly dropping passes. The running game's been kind of iffy. So when it comes to that aspect, I think Miami will be able to keep it close. But I just think that the fact that they have so many injuries that they're dealing with right now, I don't know if they'll be able to pull it out. So I do think Kansas City will win, but I think it'll be close.
Yeah, and Tua, it is Tua. And he's not the best quarterback in the league. He definitely choked against the Bills this past week. With the game on the line, and the Bills really clamped down on the Miami offense in that second half. If Miami can get rolling offensively and score, then I think they're okay. But that Kansas City defense has just been so good. The conversation about Mahomes, is he really elite right now? Because he has been playing like garbage, and this isn't what you expect. This isn't what you expect if you're saying that we're going to pass the torch from Brady to Mahomes.
Okay, that's fair. But at the same time, I just can't.
He's really good. He's obviously the face of the franchise, or face of the league, but I hope he loses. So I'm going to go Dolphins. and then last game that we're going to look at should be on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. Steelers-Bills. Not a big fan.
Yeah, I really don't have much for this game because I'm pretty sure TJ Watt is not going to be playing for the Steelers this weekend. So with that being said, give me Bills. I think Bills win pretty big too.
Bills by 100?
200, for being honest.
As long as Josh Allen doesn't throw like 5 interceptions.
I think even if he threw 5 interceptions, they would probably still win by 30.
Yeah, for sure. So that's kind of the games we're looking at. I also just say, I really don't like the reseeding thing that they do in the playoffs.
Really?
Like, let's just have a bracket and just run the bracket instead
of reseeding. Really like it.
I don't like it. I'm not a big fan, but
well, to me,
I'm also kind of more old school when it comes to playoff formats. So fair.
To me, like, I think it has, I appreciate it when it benefits the number one overall seed, because to me, I think it makes the regular season a lot more important. So when you're looking at it as, we definitely need to come in and actually go for the one seed this year, because it'll make the playoff run a little bit easier. Obviously, a playoff run is never easy, but if it can be a little bit easier, that would be nice. So that's where I go.
Who makes it to the Super Bowl and who wins it?
I am going with
We're going with the conspiracy theory of San Francisco, Baltimore because of the Super Bowl logo, or what are we doing?
No, I am going with San Francisco, though. Give me San Francisco and Buffalo, and I think San Francisco wins pretty easily.
Buffalo. You think Josh Allen gets over the hump and makes it to the Super Bowl?
I think he gets over the hump because I don't know if he'll actually have to play against Mahomes. So that might help him. But honestly,
I mean, he'd be playing Mahomes
next round.
Yeah. I mean, it would be at home, so it wouldn't be on the road. And Mahomes has never had to play a road playoff game.
Yeah. But I think he gets the monkey off the back and ends up making it to the Super Bowl. But I don't think they win. Give me San Fran.
Who's in each conference championship game?
I'm going Baltimore and Buffalo. And then
Buffalo can beat Baltimore?
Yeah, I do. Honestly, the way that Buffalo's been playing the last half of the season, they've proven a lot to me on the defensive end. Because they lost a couple key guys early in the season, but they've actually been able to regroup and have a really solid year. I can't decide if you need to attest it to basically because how bad they started earlier in the season. Like halfway through the season, they were out of the playoffs. And so they were basically fighting for their lives every week. And when you're playing a team like that, a team that basically has nothing to lose, it makes it a little more difficult for the opposing team. So. But I like the talent that Buffalo has, and I think they can beat Baltimore. The thing is, like, can you slow down Lamar at all? Because yes, Baltimore has some decent names at wide receiver. OBJ is a little bit older. Zay Flowers is really good. But you don't have Mark Andrews, so it's like, can you live with that? I don't know. I just like Buffalo's talent a little bit more than I like Baltimore, so I do think they can win that game.
I just think Baltimore's defense is going to clamp down on Josh Allen.
I mean, they're awesome. They they're really good.
And it's unreal how good they are.
Yeah, and then Lamar's playing at MVP level right now too, so like, obviously it wouldn't surprise me at all if they do come out and win that game. But for some reason, man, I just feel like this is the Bills' year to kind of put all the magic behind them and actually move forward and win.
And now on the NFC side, you got Niners playing who? Cowboys?
Man, dude, I don't know if I can hitch my wagon to the Cowboys, but at the same time, it's like earlier in the year, it would have been Philly. I don't think it's going to be Philly at all. So to me, it kind of comes down to who's winning the Detroit-LA game. But I think the Dallas could beat either one of them. So I think I'm going Dallas. Yeah, Dallas and San Fran.
And then San Fran winning it all.
Oh, yeah. They are awesome.
As long as Brock Purdy doesn't destroy his UCL again.
Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe this
McCaffrey
time
McCaffrey doesn't pull an ACL.
Yeah. Hopefully this time if Purdy gets hurt, they'll just throw McCaffrey in at quarterback. I mean, that dude can do everything.
He can do it all. Why not? Him or Debo, right?
Yeah, exactly. What do you got?
Well, I think for me, I'm going to go Baltimore and I just think there's something about the Niners. I think I'm going to have NFC Championship game be Niners Cowboys, but it seems like the recent history now with the Niners is that they're kind of becoming like the joke with the Cowboys and that they can't get over the final hump to make it to the Super Bowl. So we're going to have like the action of which team can actually get over the hump. And the talking point for the Dallas Cowboys all year has been they can't win on the road. But I think the Cowboys will actually get it done this year. I think they'll make it to the Super Bowl only to get demolished by the Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to win it all this year, unfortunately. I think the Ravens are going to play. I need to pull up the playoff picture again. Oh, my God, if I can tell. Let's see. Obviously, it's going to be Browns Ravens.
Get out of here.
Totally kidding, guys. Man, I don't think Kansas City gets in. I could see Buffalo. I could definitely see Buffalo. I could definitely see it being Baltimore, Buffalo, and I think it's San Fran and Dallas. And I think it's going to be Ravens, Cowboys.
The fact that we're aligned with the conference championships means it's not going to happen. So,
yeah, I mean, like the only chance that it wouldn't happen, because like, if Miami wins, they're going to be playing Baltimore.
Yeah.
Unless somehow Pittsburgh wins, which they're not going to. So that already takes away like my other favorite of making it against Baltimore of Miami, because they're going to be playing next round.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that Mahomes and that Kansas City offense is going to be able to win on the road against Buffalo. So the only other chance is if Cleveland just goes on a run of all runs. And or Houston and CJ Stroud just continue the Cinderella. And I just don't think that's going to happen. On the other side, me and you are kind of the same. Like, Philly's not it. Detroit, I just think it's a huge deal that they're missing Laporta. And I think they're maybe a year away from being legit Super Bowl contenders. I think they're just 1 year away. One more year to get Gibbs into the system and playing a little bit more. Maybe a Jameson Williams getting in there. And then, you know, maybe adding a couple pieces on the defensive end. I think, like, the problem with Detroit is still the defense and specifically the secondary. So I think they're still a year away. And I mean, it's between San Fran and Dallas. I mean,
yeah,
that's really what it comes down to me, because Tampa Bay isn't beating San Fran or Dallas. Philly, with how they've been playing, I can't see it, especially with them having to be on the road the whole playoffs. There's no shot. And then LA, like, they might win a game against Detroit, but then that's it. And I don't think Green Bay's beating Dallas. So,
yeah.
It feels like it's going to be chalk, which is weird, which
I know
things like that don't typically happen, but.
Well, I don't know. It feels like a lot of the lower tier teams right now in the playoffs are kind of weaker, which, I mean, makes sense.
On the NFC side, for sure. On the AFC side, like, the low seed that you would pick is Miami, but they're just hurt.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like Miami's really hurt. Same thing. I mean, Cleveland, I don't know. Deshaun Watson is hurt, but at the same time, he was playing pretty bad to start the season. So, and then you look at the Texans, it's like they're just so young that it's going to be really hard for them to actually make a push in the playoffs while also not having Tank Dell. So, and then Steelers just suck. Get them out of here.
Somehow the NFC North. just think about this for a second, okay? The NFC North, first division in the NFL since like the 30s that all four teams were above 500. And that's with Joe Burrow hurt for like half the year. Like, what the heck is this? The hardest division in football, and they get three of their four in the playoffs. Unbelievable.
Shouts to them, I guess.
I feel sorry for Joe.
He's just injury prone, man.
He's like Tua, like last right now.
Yeah, Tua's played more games than him, so.
He's played more playoff games. That's all that matters. All right. So I think that's going to end it for this week's episode. We might be a little bit more active this offseason than we were last offseason. Might be working to try and get some interviews with some people that might be interesting to talk to. So stay tuned for that. So for us, goodbye to the college football season. Hello, NFL playoffs. I'm sure we're definitely going to do a podcast at the latest right after the Super Bowl. But we will catch you guys on the next one.